Lift our hands and worship the Lord tonight. We worship you, Father. We magnify your name. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Thank you.
Glory to God. Father God, we just worship you in this place. Father, you are the one true living God. You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by that name and in that name, we come before you tonight. Father, we believe that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, we believe that we've been born of the Spirit. Father, we believe that we are your sons and daughters. Father, we believe that we are the redeemed of the Lord. Father, we believe that we are the seed of Abraham. We are heirs according to the promise. Father, we thank you. We believe we lack no good thing. Father, we believe that you are the risen Savior, the God of all. Father, we believe that you're our healer, our provider, and our protector. Lord, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we just believe that we are the children of the covenant. Father, we say that we're blessed with faithful Abraham. Lord, we thank you what it means to be in your family, to be made worthy only by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just say that he's coming and he's coming soon. And Lord, we'll be ready. And Lord, we're going to obey your word. And Father, thank you so much for all that you do. You feed us every day. You care for us every single day. Father, we are just so grateful to know you, to know your word. And Lord, we're grateful for our church family. We're grateful for all the things that you provide in our lives. We just are so grateful to know that we are born again. We're so grateful to know that we are heaven bound, and we bless you. We glorify you. And Father, we're going to receive your word with joy. And Lord God, we are going to partake of the holy ordinance of communion. Lord, we're going to sit down at your table tonight. And Lord, we're going to honor you, and we're going to be very grateful for the body of Christ and the blood that was shed for us. And Father, we just know that we can't do a thing apart from the Holy Ghost. And so, Lord, as we share your word, he reveals and unveils the scripture to us. Father, we're going to receive it with joy. We just praise you. We worship you. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, it is communion service tonight. It is so good to see everybody. This is a holy and sacred time. You know, every time we're gathered in the name of Jesus, you know, the Lord said that he would be in our midst. So it is a sacred time. It's a holy time. But we know of the two ordinances that Christ left to the church. He left us water baptism. And then, of course, tonight what we're going to partake of is communion. And it is holy. It is sacred. And so I always like to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so if you have your Bibles tonight, turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to start in verse 17. And I always like to go back to this passage when it comes to communion, because really the revelation of Paul the Apostle, you know, I mean, it is so needed in the local church. We need to know and understand how important it is that we honor and serve within the local church, and that we carry ourselves and conduct ourselves properly. Amen. You know, church is not a social club. Church is not just something that we look at and say, well, I'm going to see what I can take from it, meaning I'm just going to go get what I want there and I'm just going to serve myself there. Folks, we can't do that. We'll get ourselves in trouble with God in a hurry. But when we know, when we have a revelation about the local church, it'll bless our lives. Amen. It'll bring health to our lives. It'll bring long life to us. Amen. Let me show you these scriptures. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read in verse 17, first of all. Boy, you really have to about read this entire chapter if you really want to put it into context. I won't take the time to read the entire chapter. I'll just kind of, you know, remind us of a few things of what's going on here. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, of course, by the Holy Spirit, and he starts pointing out some things in their midst, some things that they were doing wrong, some ways that they were conducting themselves in the local church that was going to get them in trouble. And now he says something, 1 Corinthians 11, 17 is just such an amazing scripture to me, because it's something that would not be often said in the modern church. And Paul says this, inspired of the Holy Spirit, writing to Christians just like you and I. They had a church, they had a pastor, you know, they had a service, they had worship, and they also got together for communion. And now Paul says this, and he's talking specifically now about the Lord's table or Holy Communion that we are going to partake in tonight. He says this to these Christians in the church at Corinth. He says, now in this, he says, that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Uh-oh. That means he's going to correct them. He says, I don't congratulate you or commend you on this. He says, that you come together, meaning when they would meet for church and when they would meet for the Lord's Supper, he says, you don't come together for the better, but for the worse. Isn't that an amazing scripture? You say, oh man, when I read that verse, I think, oh my goodness. I mean, here Paul told the people of the church at Corinth, he said, because of your attitudes about the local church. Now, folks, here's the good news. We have very little of this here, all right? It's not because I'm not preaching this to correct this out of this church or anything like that. I'm just saying this as a reminder of how sacred it is to have a local church, how important it is that we treat one another the right way, that we conduct ourselves honorably. We don't have any of these issues here, but it's always a good reminder. Amen. He says, I declare unto you, he says, what that I declare to you, I praise you not that you come together, specifically he's talking about in their church for communion. He says, not for the better, but for the worse. Do you know that if we have the wrong attitudes about the local church, if we have the wrong attitudes about our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can actually invite more harm upon us than good. You all right? You know, if we have a detrimental attitude, if we have a critical attitude, judgmental attitude towards our brothers and sisters, it actually can produce more harm on our life. Imagine being a faithful churchgoer, but it actually is doing you more harm than good. Whoa, it should not be that way, amen? When we go to the local church, we should be blessed, amen? Because you're going to see that there's such blessing available to us in the local church and with our church family. But whatever these Corinthians were doing, it was causing them more harm than good. Wow, isn't that amazing scripture? And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, I take note of a verse like that because I want to make sure to pastor in a way that whatever these Corinthians were doing for the Holy Spirit to say that to them, I want to make sure we're not doing any of that in our midst. Amen. And time doesn't permit, but if you go through this entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul starts pointing out some of the things that they were doing. Basically, they were turning church into a self-service platform, meaning, you know, they would go there and they just wanted something natural out of it. Some of them wanted to go to the Lord's table or communion because they just wanted the food aspect of it, or they wanted to get something natural out of it, you know. Folks, how many of you know that that happens in the local church even today? That people will, you know, they'll single out churches, you know, they'll go to a church and they're just there because they want people to give them something, or they want, you know, the church to give them money, or they want the church to, you know, give them a bunch of natural needs. Folks, when we do that, we are inviting harm upon ourselves. I've seen over the years where people will be, you know, they'll just see the church as an opportunity to have a social life or, of course, nothing wrong with having social activities in the church. I'm just saying, folks, that cannot be our priority here. Amen. Or, you know, I see people, they'll go out and they're you know, shopping for relationships amongst the churches and things like that. Folks, we've got to have our hearts right, and we've got to make sure that we pursue the local church because we're hungry and we're desirous for the Lord. Amen. Amen. And of course, he also describes the Corinthian church. They were being very selfish with one another. Some of them were trying to bring to the Lord's Supper. They were bringing a bunch of food to show off at, like, oh, look at what I have, as compared to people that didn't have very much. You know, we have a modern day similarity, you know, these days in the church where people will try to show off or boast about what they have. God does not mind you having nice things, but he certainly minds you flaunting it. You know what I mean? Again, not that we have those issues in this church. If there was a problem with that, I would deal with it. But you know what I mean? It was just, they were starting to approach the church as, well, I want it this way. I'm going to see what I can take out of it. I'm going to see how I can serve myself. Folks, we are to come here to serve the Lord and to serve each other. Amen. Just real simple. And so their attitudes were actually, you know, bringing more harm on them because if you read more in chapter 11, it says that there's different factions among the church, divisions. You know, this group of people over here were opposed to these people over here. And there were people that were just very contentious, you know, there's a lot of strife, a lot of fighting, a lot of disagreements. You know, folks, how many of you know it matters how we treat one another in the local church? Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, so go down to verse 23. If you read, if you fill in the passage before verse 17 and after verse 17, you'll see how Paul corrects them on these things. He says, make sure you talk about each other the right way. Make sure you're not resisting leadership. Making sure you're not criticizing your brothers and sisters. Making sure you're not going to church to look for something that just serves you, whether you're looking for a handout for money or you're looking for, you know, to boast on what you have. All these motives, he was challenging their motives. Amen. And he said, if your motives are wrong about the local church, it'll do you harm. Now look at verse 23. And so he starts to talk in verse 23 about getting it correct about what communion is. And he was going to teach them how to receive the Lord's Supper without it obviously doing any harm to them. All right, now let's read this passage. He says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Whenever I see Jesus start talking of the body, all right, now he's talking about his physical body that was broken for us. But how many of you know when you start hearing anything being mentioned about the Lord's body, what should you start thinking of? The church. That's absolutely right. Because you know now the church is his body. And so when we think of his body being broken, all right, we got to remember all that, you know, pertains to his body. It's not just his physical body, but it's also the church. He says the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. In verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had eaten, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." And boy, has that scripture, sure, you know, let's just be honest, it's downright scared a lot of Christians. Because it's like, oh my goodness, we read this verse every time, you know, that take this verse. Can you go down to the scripture for me there? Go down to verse 27 is where we're at. You know, in this verse in 27, it says, they shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And so we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, you know, what if I'm taking communion unworthily? Because when we read this scripture, it scares a lot of Christians, and we start asking ourselves, man, have I taken the communion? Have I taken it unworthily? Am I going to take it unworthily tonight? Folks, let me assure you, first of all, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are worthy to take communion. Amen? But what he's talking about unworthily, he's talking about those who were doing the things that the rest of the chapter is talking about. They were fighting with one another, strifing with one another, all right? You know, not waiting for each other, boasting of themselves, seeking their own. Folks, if you have a heart that you've been just trying to use the local church to benefit yourself, if you, you know, are constantly contentious or contending with somebody in the local church, fighting with them, strifing with them, bad attitude, you know, all that stuff, well then, yeah, you would be taking the cup of the Lord unworthily. You don't want to do that. But if you, you know, are walking with your brothers and sisters, you're loving on them, you know, you're being patient with them, you're serving in the house of God, and your heart is right, then there's nothing to be concerned about. Amen? Amen? But again, why is the scripture saying this? Because the house of God is so sacred to him that when we mistreat it, or we don't think of it as a holy place or a sacred thing, and we just start treating it casually, and we start just acting like, you know, the people don't matter as long as I get what I want or what I need, well, then now we've lost our way, all right? But we do not want to take the cup of the Lord unworthily, all right? Verse 28, he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Remember, he's saying this to correct those Corinthians that were very selfish. And folks, every communion service should have an element of examining our own hearts, right? Yes. Amen. We should examine ourselves. You know, if we've been contentious, if we've been in opposition with brothers and sisters in Christ, if we've been, you know, complaining about others and resisting leadership and all that stuff, which again, not been an issue here, but if that has been in our heart or we're dealing with that, we should examine ourselves and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But we have to make sure that we are judging ourselves. Look at verse 29. He says, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning what? The Lord's body. Wow. And I know we read these scriptures and Christians, they almost cringe like, oh, you know, I'm almost scared to take communion. You know, I don't want to eat and drink damnation to myself. Well, again, if you're not fighting and trying to bring people down in your local church, then you have nothing to worry about. But if you're out contending, sowing discord and opposition to God's people, then yeah, absolutely. You better be careful because God takes that stuff very seriously. You know, you don't want to eat and drink damnation to yourself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now remember, what is the Lord's body? The church, you know, and that's exactly what he's talking about. He's telling this to these Corinthian Christians who needed to be corrected, right? Because they were being selfish. They were, you know, trying to boast of themselves to their brothers and sisters. They were divided. They were complaining. They were criticizing one another. Are you here tonight? See, when we start criticizing other Christians, when we start to oppose them and resist them and, you know, and do all that shady kind of stuff, see, that's what the Bible calls not discerning the Lord's body. It is very, very dangerous to start sowing discord, you know, amongst God's people. It's very dangerous to take a local church and to start, you know, gossiping about people, backbiting, complaining, oh, they shouldn't do this, I don't like that, I don't like him, he does this, I don't want when the pastor does this and they do that. If that's what we become. Folks, is there such thing as a perfect church on this earth? No. Is this church perfect? No. Is any church perfect? No. As long as there's human beings on this earth and flesh, you know, on this earth, with a devil to tempt it, People gonna do people stuff, right? People gonna do people stuff. That means people are gonna do stupid things, say things that they shouldn't. You know, you're gonna have to forgive it. You're gonna have to be merciful, amen. You're gonna have to discern, wait a minute, I don't need to get in strife with them. That's the Lord's body. That's the Lord's body. There's gonna be a lot of people just, you know, in general now. I'm not even talking about right in the church, but there's gonna be a lot of people throughout this life that are just gonna resist you. You know what I mean? They're gonna come against you. If it's other Christians, don't attack back, because even when they're doing wrong, they're still the Lord's body. Amen. See, this is the point that Paul is trying to get over to these Christians. He says, all this bickering, all these factions and divisions and opposition and all this slandering that you're doing, he's like, you don't even realize what you're doing is harm to the Lord's body. There's been a lot of things over the years that have happened to me that I've wanted to retaliate about, you know, within, you know, Christian circles, and I just simply don't. Why? Because it's the Lord's body. Amen. It's not worth it. In verse 30, look at this. Look at verse 30. Wow. For this cause, for what cause? Not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding that those people are part of his body, that the local church is his body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now, the word sleep there is not talking about getting a good 8 hours rest at night, right? It's talking about dying when you weren't supposed to. Whoa, that's what it's talking about. Oh, goodness. I know. When I bring up these scriptures, I don't want to present them in a negative light, because we see the weak, sick, and dying young, you know, out of judgment because they did not handle or conduct themselves properly amongst the church. But think of the opposite must be true. If we do conduct ourselves well amongst God's people, now you won't be sick, you know, weak, sick, dying young. You could be what? Strong, healthy, and living long. See, because being, you know, connected to a local church, a Bible teaching, Spirit-filled local church will produce strength, health, and long life. Amen. Because Jesus, you know, when we're part of the body, think about the body parts in your body. Can you name any you know, part of your body that can live without the body? No. I mean, whether a finger, your finger is only blessed today because it's attached to the body. Your leg is very blessed, right, to be attached to your body. You know, aren't you glad that your lungs are attached to your body? You know, and if a lung starts to decide, or your heart or your liver or, you know, one of your limbs or something decides to not be attached to the body, well, that limb or that body part will suffer and die. See, God gave us the local church to be attached to love and serve God here, and to love and serve one another here, to worship together without gossip, without backbiting, without sowing discord, without opposing one another, so that we would live strong, healthy, and long on this earth. Amen. Amen. And so these verses aren't supposed to be taken negatively. We're just supposed to judge our hearts and make sure we're not doing those things. Amen. Because a local church can produce some really, really great blessing, you know. And if you go back and read chapter 11, you'll see what these Corinthians were doing. But it was just a bunch of strifing, a bunch of fighting, factions, divisions. Amen. We got to make sure that we don't do that in our lives with the Lord. It says, for this cause, many are weak and sick among you and die prematurely. Verse 31, and here's what we need to do. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Isn't that good? You know, we're not supposed to judge others. We're supposed to judge ourselves. Amen. And if we would judge ourselves, see, God's saying right here in this verse to these Corinthians, he says, God is merciful. You know, if you've been doing any of this stuff, if you've been backbiting, fighting, opposing, you know, other believers, looking at everything they do is wrong, and what they do, they're wrong, and they're wrong, and they're wrong. Everyone's wrong but you. Well, guess what? God is still merciful, and if you'll judge yourself, you won't be judged. Aren't you glad that God gives us another chance? I mean, have you ever made a mistake before and had to judge yourself on it? Yes, amen. We got to judge ourselves all the time, you know, and that's not a guilty lifestyle. It's not. you know, it's a sincere or a tender lifestyle. You know, it takes a tender heart to judge yourself and be like, oh man, I've done that. I've been doing that. Lord, forgive me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be against anybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, it says, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. That's an interesting verse. That's what happened to those Christians in Corinth who dropped dead because they were not conducting themselves correctly in the local church. And I know this is a sermon that many people won't teach these days because, man, it seems so heavy. But the Lord chastened those people, even allowed some of them to die prematurely that they would not be condemned or literally they wouldn't go to hell. I mean, it was even the mercy of God. But you know what God wants to do? He doesn't want to judge you. Amen. He already put all that judgment on Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to, you know, lift his blessing and let the devil, you know, hurt your life. Amen. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be strong and healthy and living long. Amen. He doesn't want you to be condemned with the world. And he doesn't want you to exit this life early. God's got a plan for our lives. He says, wherefore, brethren, in verse 33, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Do you see this? See, he's still teaching them about their attitude. Because they were all sitting down and they were just eating for themselves and they called it communion. And he's trying to tell them, whoa, 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 wait for one another. All take that bread together. Everyone take that cup together. Because communion is not what Christ just did for us as individuals. It's what he did for us together. Amen. See, his blood is the sacrifice that he gave to every single one of us. But we as his body are supposed to love one another, serve one another. But the Corinthians, they were just coming up and be like, oh, what can I eat? What can I take for myself? I'm not waiting for them. See, and Paul is explaining this is why judgment came on those people in that church. Because they didn't care about the person sitting in the aisle next to them. They didn't care about the people sitting behind them. They just cared about themselves. Yeah. See, that's what communion is. See, communion is about loyalty two different ways. Communion is about the Lord's loyalty to us, but is also about our loyalty to one another. Amen. If you take communion, just think, well, I take communion, I take it for myself. You know, do I dare say this? I might really upset people. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm going to go after it, but not real hardly, because we certainly don't, you know, we're not trying to get critical here or anything. But there's a real doctrine going around the body of Christ right now about taking communion by yourself all the time. I don't know if anyone's seen that, but I mean, there's a real thing like, you know, they're promoting, take communion by yourself every day. Just take communion, take communion. You can serve yourself communion at home and have communion with yourself. Okay, first of all, I'm not here to, you know, criticize someone that just wants to get closer to the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, scripturally, there is no communion by yourself. Communion is not something that we take just alone. It's not about ourselves. You know that? Communion is what we're declaring loyalty to Jesus and to one another. And so when you see that doctrine, and again, I'm not coming after it with, you know, fierceness, but I see it on Christian TV. There's books about it. Communion every day, communion every day, communion every day. Yeah, you could take communion every single day, but you better not be taking it alone. Because when you turn communion into just a service for yourself, then we have perverted what it was about. It is about you standing there with other believers, that you're taking communion as a way to say, Jesus' blood was shed for me, and I am going to be loyal to you. That's what it's talking about. And so there's a lot of doctrine today going around about, oh, it's just about yourself or whatever. And I understand people are just, they're sincere and they want to be close to God. But folks, please know communion isn't about what it gives you. You understand? It's about a declaration of loyalty together. He says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, he's talking about the Lord's Supper, communion. He said, wait for one another. Honor them and respect one another in your midst. Amen. And if any man hunger, look at verse 34. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. See, they were showing up just because there was food there. They thought, well, I want to be there. I want to see if I can, you know, get a free meal or something. He says, if you're just coming to church to fill your belly, he said, you can do that at home. You see what I mean? Yeah. That you come not together unto condemnation. He said, if you're pursuing just your natural needs and you're just trying to get something out of the church, you're going to come together unto condemnation. And he says, the rest I will set in order when I come. I wonder what else he said. What else did Paul say when he showed up there? I bet you he had quite a few things to say. But folks, I always use communion as an opportunity to help us to understand that a church, it is the body of Christ. How we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we speak about one another, it all matters. Amen. And the good news is, when we're walking in the light and the revelation of the local church, it'll make us stronger. It'll make us healthy. It'll help us to live longer and to fulfill the plan of God. Amen. So if neglecting the Lord's body can bring weakness, sickness, and premature death, couldn't being faithful within the body bring strength, health, and long life? Absolutely, that's exactly what it does. And that's what communion together about is about. So tonight, when we have the bread and we have the cup, we are honoring what the Lord has done for us. I'm declaring, you know, we're all declaring our loyalty to Him, but we're also declaring our loyalty to one another. And when Paul said, make sure you wait for one another. You know, honor those that are in your midst. And folks, we need to understand, as I look out, I could name everybody's name here, you know, and no doubt many of you could do the same thing. We don't see them as just the person. We see them as the body of Christ. How would you treat Jesus himself if he was in this room? He is in this room. But I mean, if he was physically in this room, if you stood before Jesus himself, how would you honor him? How would you talk to him? Well, that's how we're supposed to talk to one another. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so I like to share this scripture because we're supposed to examine ourselves. And so what we're going to do here tonight in a moment, the ushers are going to begin passing out the elements. We're going to make sure that everybody who wants to be served is served first. And then as the elements are being passed out, Reverend Tony and the team are going to have some music. And as you're waiting to receive the elements, use that time to examine yourself. Is there anything that you're doing within the body? And again, I'm not aware of it. You know what I mean? But if your heart is aware of something, if you judge yourself, if you need to make corrections before, you know, you receive the elements, do that in that time. As I sit right there, you better bet I'm going to bow my head. I'm going to go before God. If there's something that I'm not aware of, I'm not trying to bring guilt or condemnation upon myself, but I'm going to certainly take a look inwardly. If I need to judge myself, I'm going to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then once we're all served, we're going to pray over the elements, and then we are going to receive. So at this time, if our ushers could go ahead, if you want to come on up and get ready to start serving. And then, of course, we'll have our music. Praise God. And so let's just take this time to self-reflect, judge ourselves if need be. Praise the Lord. Reverend Tony.
Can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Of love.
first thing, I want to just make sure that everyone who wants to be served has been served. Is there anybody here that has not been served, both the elements, but would like to be? Did we miss somebody? Maybe we have a hand. Anyone that did not get served but wants to be served? Anyone that got missed? We have somebody. Praise the Lord. I want to just make sure that everybody has that opportunity. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to hear in just a moment. We're going to pray over the elements, and then we are going to receive them. One thing I always like to say is that sometimes people, they get thinking that, they have to be, a member of this particular church or, have gone through a membership class. We don't do that here. The most important thing about receiving communion is that you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And, as I look around and know this congregation, I am fully confident that you have done that. But sometimes there's people like, well, I haven't gone through a membership class. It's not about that. It's about having Jesus in your heart. Amen. And that's what qualifies us to receive communion. Praise God. Let's go ahead. Is there anybody else there? Do we have everybody, all of our music team and our audio folks, and everybody's been served? Let's pray over the elements and then we will receive them. Dear Father God, we just praise you. Lord, we know that this is a sacred time. Father, we are grateful for the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. Father, we are grateful for the blood that was shed that makes us worthy to stand before you, that washes us and cleanses us of our sin. Father, we're grateful for the local church. Lord, we are very grateful for your body and for the family of God. And Father, how important it is that we stay honorable and loyal and that we speak well of our brothers and sisters, that we respect them, we serve one another. Father, we are so grateful to have received what you have given to us. Father, we thank you. Lord, tonight we just say that these elements are blessed. Father, we receive them with that blessing to our bodies. Father, we thank you for strength and health and long life on this earth. Lord, we are just so grateful. We just praise you and we glorify you. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat." On the same night, after he had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament. This is my blood that was shed for you for the remission of sins." And the scripture says, "For as often as you drink it, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Take and drink. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. Yes, for the body that was broken on that cross. Father, we thank you for the local church. Lord, we thank you for the life that is in your word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Thank you for the blood that was shed for us, that we could be called the sons and daughters of the living God. Father, we have everything to be grateful for. Lord, we can have gratitude. Lord, we can walk in graciousness to one another. We can walk in love because we have received the ultimate love. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you for all that we have received. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's go ahead and let's stand to our feet. Let's just worship for a moment and then we're going to be dismissed. Praise God. Father, we just love you tonight. We bless you, Lord God. And Father, we just stand before you, not just as a group of individuals, but Father, one body, one fellowship. And Lord God, we stand before you and we just praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, Father, we thank you that we are one body with the entire body of Christ. We thank you for every church that preaches the name of Jesus Christ, that stands upon your word, that is born of the Spirit. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you. And Lord, I just thank you for each one that is here tonight. That, Lord God, that we would go forth, we would win souls into the kingdom. Father God, that we would live and fulfill all the will of God in our lives. And Father, I just thank you that your blessing, your leading, your grace is upon each one. And Lord God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen.